Wall Street Journal that are like, CEO of Goldman Sachs says everyone has to come back to work. Like, I think some places are trying to like flex their muscles and be like, you have to come back to the office. You can't stay home and enjoy life in your house. You have to be watched over constantly.
Look, if the science says you have to go back in the office because the giant multinational holding corporation who owns the office building that you work in doesn't want to lose money on their investment, then you have to trust the science. That's what I'm saying.
Well, listen, on the one hand, you have the science of medicine and epidemiology and, you know, how you would keep somebody safe. But on the other hand, you have the science of economics, which is an equally real science. And it says
that's very real.
They need to make money by having you in the office, and they'll make less money if you're not there. So you simply must come in person.
In this house, we trust the science, obviously. You know, the science is an infallible creature.
Yeah, when a guy in a lab coat comes to me and says, if you give me all of your money, I will double it in crypto, I trust him, because not only because the lab coat means he's a scientist.
That's right. Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, like, especially if
he's got like a Stanford or Yale degree, it means he can't be wrong.
Yeah, well, not only is he a crypto scientist, he's an animal scientist. All right. I'm putting all my money in this new crypto that's basically just digital animals that only exist in pixels.
And then you buy them, and then you can groom them and pet them.
It's not Neopets. It's more like Beanie Babies.
I feel like you guys are just describing Pokemon, like a billion-dollar business based around digital pixel art creatures.
I think Beanie Babies deserve another chance, but like Beanie Babies that only exist on the blockchain.
Well, yeah, I mean, who needs something on the like Meatspace chain? That's just like extra clutter for your, you know, like when you're going to be living in a pod apartment, it's going to be really small.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly want
little physical stuffed animals cluttering up your home. Why not have them in the cloud, and then they're always with you? That's what I said.
Yeah, they're always with you. Then you look them on your phone. Mm-hmm. You can't touch them.
Everybody will be living in a tiny home pod, and in order to have the experience of going outside, instead of leaving your pod, you'll go into VR, and you'll experience the world outside through your inner world, and you'll be able to explore the real final frontier, which is your own mental illness.
That's what the coastal elites really want, is just everybody living like me, living in a small apartment and having to buy furniture to store the shit you're collecting.
Well, but while you furniture. Watch streamers that have a $3 million house in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, right? And that's, speaking of streamers, that's what the point of the mask is you wear a mask with a smile for hours at a time because inside you're crying.
Right.
But you still want to put on a happy face. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
You might say that's the point of the mask.
Yeah. And they always ask you, why are you so sad?
Yeah. And the fact is, you can't get up off the mattress.
Yeah. I think the real problem with, you know, people who make money off of stuff like streaming is that as soon as you make money, you become an elite.
Well, you know,
right?
Because
when you own money, you're in the ownership class, because you're owning some.
That's you own money.
Yeah.
I mean, the real problem with people who make money from making content is then they immediately better their own personal conditions and don't use that small amount of money to change the entire community and structure around them, which
I don't see
anything wrong with grifting. Don't get me wrong, right? If you grift a bunch of people out of their money and then you buy nice things for yourself, that's fine. That's actually very funny. But if you're annoying, like if your grift is particularly annoying to my own personal sensibilities,
right,
you've crossed a line.
I agree.
Of things that I find annoying.
Well, not only that,
ironically agree.
Especially if you say words that I think are evil and offensive, and if you make jokes that I don't think are funny, not only are you crossing a line, you're actually a fascist.
Well, now you're counter-revolutionary because you're annoying me. A revolutionary, you're going counter to me. Yeah.
If somebody has like a slight disagreement with you on how to build a better world than the one we live in now, they're not somebody who you should like collaborate with and learn from. They're actually your enemy who should be hated.
Right, you gotta hate them. I mean, you gotta
hate somebody.
You also have to try and make their life worse. Their individual.
Well, they should have to atone for their crime of being annoying.
They have to be held accountable.
So I should annoy them in return, and then we'll see where that gets us.
I mean,
probably to a good result.
You just want to annoy them.
Well, I mean, I have to fight fire with fire. No. So if they're annoying.
I don't think you should annoy them. You should do the righteous behavior of destroying their life.
Mm-hmm. We're talking, of course, listener, about the fact that I have been kicked off of OnlyFans for being racist.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing porn. People could pay me money. It was like a Cameo thing where, depending on what tier you paid, the free stuff, I was actually very woke. And then as soon as you started paying, you know, because it's like,
it's more racist. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's, you have to pay for the premium stuff. You know what I mean?
It turns out hotboxing a Halo headset while being racist is a violation of multiple federal internet laws, which I didn't realize it was illegal to be racist online, but apparently if you're racist enough,
I mean, my personal opinion is there shouldn't be federal internet laws at all.
That's right.
There should be federated.
The internet should not be regulated.
The internet should be like Mad Max, where you can kill anybody you want, but only on the internet.
Right. And only if they, you know, steal your water or something. Whatever that movie's about, I don't remember.
Your internet water? Like your Beanie Baby water or something.
I've only seen the first one, like the original first one, and then the Fury Road. I haven't seen Thunderdome. I feel like I need to see that.
Yeah, I've only seen the newest one.
Thunderdome is cool. It gets a lot of hate.
I started doing Letterboxd. You guys know that one?
Yay, follow me on Letterboxd.
I think I did. You got to follow me back.
Okay, I didn't know. Well, shit, now I'm behind.
The reason I started a Letterboxd is because I watched this movie that was so bad. I was like, and people need to know.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I know that feeling well. Which movie?
Fuck. I already forgot what it's called. Let me open my Letterboxd.
Alrighty.
It was like, it bills itself as, these two clueless millennials go up to a cabin upstate for a vacation.
Oh, no.
And then aliens invade, but they turned off their cell phones, so they don't know.
Aliens?
This is the setting that it's like millennial cell phone bad. Aliens will kill them because they depend on cell phone too much.
Yeah, it's called Save Yourselves. It's about like two, they're like vaguely late 20s, early 30s people with like do nothing PMC email jobs that contribute nothing to society. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're like, we use our phones too much. Let's go cabin woods. But like, they're
like
insufferable.
Escape. Let's look up.
So as soon as they're leaving, the aliens attack. And then, I mean, the whole film, the writing is, it's like, it's one of those films where like 2-3 years down the road, it'll feel so incredibly dated. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. A young Brooklyn couple.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm sure they're like, what am I going to eat if I don't have organic wheatgrass, honey? And she's like, it's okay. I brought wheatgrass and an organic wheatgrass juicer.
That's not even like a parody. That's not even like an extreme parody of what actually goes on. That is.
Oh, hey, look, the guy from High Maintenance is in it.
It's low budget too. It's like there are things they could have done if they weren't constrained by their budget, which is like end the movie with any kind of resolution. And I was reading reviews of the movie, and then a bunch of like boomers were complaining. Because apparently there's a trend in like new indie movies where they just cut to black at the end, Sopranos style, with absolutely no resolution. I didn't know this because I don't watch new or indie movies because they're almost always bad.
But most movies are almost always bad, I gotta say.
It is a numbers game, yeah.
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 This kind of reminds me, we never actually watched the movie, but remember like the year we started the show, you were showing us the beginning of this like Brooklyn zombie movie? Where it was like
that movie rocks,
like a hip couple on like the M train or something, and they were like, "Oh my god, the zombies are coming!" Or like aliens.
It was like Civil War Texas right wingers.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't zombies. It was
Bushwick. It was called Bushwick, and it was had a decently high budget, at least for what it is. But it was filmed in this like one shot style, like 1917.
What was the concept like? Right wing fascist gun like rednecks from Texas were invading and taking over Bushwick.
Yeah, the 3%ers decided the best tactical maneuver to take control of the country would be to invade Bushwick.
What is in Bushwick that is like tactical? It's like we're gonna run the whole country by owning like 50 vegan cheese shops.
Yeah. And then I don't give a fuck if you don't want spoilers for this movie. I'm going to say it anyway.
Don't worry about it. It's not a good movie.
It's good, bad. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. Dave Bautista, isn't it?
But it's like, and then a like coalition of like woke girl bosses and bodega owners and like a very United Colors of Benetton like guerrilla force of people who live in Bushwick managed to beat them back.
Mm-hmm. It's really like, funny when you write a movie about like that, like you can, you know exactly the kind of person who came up with a movie like that of just like, well, there's like just smart enough to kind of understand that there's like culture war differences, like they're educated enough to understand that there's like differences between states, but like not having any sort of material analysis of what that would mean of like why they don't like each other. And it's just like, well, what if there was a war between them?
What if they went on a war? And also like the police and the National Guard and like the state police of like, not that I'm saying that like I think the police in New York would like, a lot of them might be allied with like a right-wing militia, but I think if someone was like invading New York, the police would probably stop them.
They all enjoy cured meats. If a New York cop would just like talk to the Proud Boy militia guy who's getting off of the Black Hawk in center of Bushwick and just be like, hey, what kind of cured meats you like? Like, well, we do barbecue down here. And then they bond over their shared love of ways of cooking meat.
Yeah. Right.
It's a New York centric film because it's just the idea is a guy being like, would I be able to defend myself against a zombie invasion? But also I have to make it topical because it's like 2017 and everybody's afraid of Trump.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Apparently,
like, how can we make a lot of money? But I also want to make a movie where a bunch of kids are afraid of, you know, have to use guns that they've never used or whatever.
Yeah.
So the director said that it was inspired. The real world inspiration for the film was in 2009, Rick Perry joked about Texas seceding from the U.S. And then in Texas, there were sort of like petitions and like people being like, we should succeed. And so they were like, well, what would happen if Texas seceded from the Union? Probably this film. It would probably invade Bushwick.
But that's the thing. It's like that kind of like Bushwick narcissists who's like, well, they'll,
oh, yeah.
How will it affect me?
Yeah.
If Texas seceded from the Union, how would it hurt me?
The first thing they would do is not like fortify their border or like ban anyone from other states from coming in or something.
They'd probably come to my house.
They would travel across half the country and go to my apartment and try to beat me up.
Fucking main character syndrome. There should be a vaccine for main character syndrome.
Yeah, what are you gonna do about that, Pfizer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Where's my fucking?
That would be weird.
What like, why aren't you making the world better for me?
Imagine like getting a vaccine and like while you're waiting in line in your head, you're like, by doing this, I'm saving humanity. And then you get the shot, and then you're struck by this feeling like, wow, I'm only one tiny cog in a massive machine, and this has barely any noticeable effect. Maybe it'll help someone, but also it's more important if people as a collective are all getting this vaccine. Shit, I thought I was the main character, but I'm not.
Yeah, if everyone got the main character vaccine, they'd just like walk outside and start like dismantling banks, just like ants.
Yeah,
it works like Total Recall. The minute the nurse starts injecting you with the anti-main character serum, you flash into like an alternate reality where, but then you wake up and you have total recall and you go on a murderous rampage and the nurse's head like does that thing from the movie where the
putty.
Yeah, and it like opens up and Arnold Schwarzenegger's inside. And he's like,
what do you guys think would happen?
It's a weird fever dream.
Where's the housekeeper?
What do you guys think would happen if you gave like Hillary Clinton or Obama or Donald Trump the vaccine that cures you of main character syndrome? Because they have like Donald Trump has been the main character his whole life. You know what I mean? It's like their whole worldview centers around them being the main character. So what would happen if they got like
they just die
stripped of their illusions?
Just kill themselves.
Hillary Clinton just instantly claws her own face off. I'm just not chilling when I'm not the main character.
Although I don't know, I kind of feel like Donald Trump would be like okay with it. Like he would just be like, oh, there's no pressure on like anyone liking me because it actually doesn't matter.
He just so goes just gonna like again.
Drink
he would
Diet
become
Coke
a guy who you'd like to hang out with. More so than he is now.
He seems like one of the worst people to hang out with.
You think he's like a guy who like he's pulling up old campaign speech videos and he's like, remember when I hit him with this one?
He's still doing the same speeches now, apparently. Like,
well, he uses swears.
Yeah, he does cuss.
Now he cusses.
He said, what did he say? Like, you know what woke means? It means you're a loser. Everything woke turns to shit.
Everything woke turns to shit. We hate wokeness, folks.
And don't even get me started on the post-woke irony posters, okay? They're ruining Twitter, all right?
They're even worse.
Yeah, that
killing the experience.
That clip of him saying, like, woke is for losers or whatever feels like a joke we would have made in 2017. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like it keeps becoming like a treadmill of parody where it's just like...
Yeah, because who is really calling stuff woke anymore? Like, not really very many... I don't know. It's like, I don't watch MSNBC, but are they saying like, here's how you can be woke when you vote or something? Like,
maybe.
It's weird because it in a weird way, it feels like they're basically shadow boxing with like internet posters and like Tumblr and shit, which is very strange.
But the thing is, I mean, I think those people are they're only really at the ground level. Like, you know, that TikTok of like, this is the life of an intern at the White House. Those are just the most visible people, mm-hmm. right? The people that are really pulling the strings are still the old guard. It'll be a while before they die off, and then the real like true believers get in, and they also can't govern because they're just the same with different mm-hmm. window dressing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, today or this week, a couple of things had happened, and we mentioned all of them right up top. but you know, it's funny because you very lightly hand waved towards the thing that was happening with Hasan Minhaj, and
Hasan Minhaj.
Mm-hmm. No, not Hasan Minhaj.
Oh, shit.
Hasan, whatever his name is, the streamer guy, Hasan.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is
noted Armenian genocide denier.
Yeah, me too. I denied every any genocide is probably fake.
Hasan Piker, that's
absolutely true.
Piker's kind of a cool
last
name.
Let's not unpack that.
Let's not unpack
that. Does that mean like your ancestor used a pike or something if your last name's Piker?
I don't know. Mm. But that's a good illustration of how much I don't care about that person. No shade to him. I have literally never watched any amount of time of his show.
We've watched minutes of his stream before.
We're not the target demographic. Me.
It's for children. But I wanted to say, like, you know, there is, I think, an important thing to talk about of like people making money off of entertainment and then having money and then using that money. Like, I wonder it made me think like, if Larry David wanted to end capitalism, let's say Larry David has $1 billion, you know, mm-hmm. like your guy wrote a show and then you wrote another show.
Yeah.
Like, can you do anything? Like, I feel like there's a weird sense among children, I assume mostly kids and mm-hmm. people who are undereducated, that if you just have enough money that you could buy your way to communism.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that is a fundamental misunderstanding, because it's like the money is just a conduit for the mode of production. Like Larry David, right. Your example, has $1 billion. He can't just go to Amazon and be like, one end of capitalism, please. Here's $1 billion.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like the takes that I've seen are sort of like, well, if you funnel money into like orgs, I didn't really see anyone who was like specific about
which orgs or
Sean like which
King's
people.
Org.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's like, I think we like as communists would agree on that if you had enough like professional revolutionaries, like people who could like work full time to organize.
Okay,
but the
problem is that you're talking about like funding a militia, which is illegal.
Right. Right. Well, like, that's what I would want to do. I don't know what these people want to do. Fund soup kitchens.
But it's like you can't just like if you have $3 million. First of all, Hasan Piker didn't put doesn't have $3 million. He put, you know, the three.
He probably
the house.
Does.
I mean, he might. He has a fucking, whenever he streams, like,
I doubt it.
20,000 people watching. People like that make like
20, 30, 40K a month.
People who have like 3,000 people watching their streams can make like a decent living on Twitch. I feel like if 20,000 people,
but I mean,
I don't really know.
Saying that house, he put a down payment on it.
Right.
He probably didn't pay cash.
He didn't walk in with a bag of money like Scrooge McDuck, whatever, however much money he actually has.
I don't know. In LA, I think you do kind of have to have like a solid amount over asking, and cash offers definitely take precedence. The housing market is insane right now. That's just like a product of the moment we're in right now.
Right.
I don't really
give a shit about that guy.
No, I don't either. But I think this happens all of the time with every single person who's making entertainment and claiming to have an outlook or a certain type of politics that are wanting the system to be not capitalist or at least more equitable. Like, I don't even know what Piker's fucking positions are on a lot of things. And so if you use these sort of things like Twitch, which pays you, or YouTube, which pays you, or Patreon, which is the only purpose is to pay you, like, you're going to start making a living off of it. And I feel like people have this fundamental idea that that's wrong, to make a living off of talking.
That's the fundamental misunderstanding of the role of those people. It's like, he's an entertainer. He's not a political leader. Like, fucking all your favorite podcasters, they're podcasters. They're not, like, gonna lead the revolution into battle.
Well,
we, of course, being the exception.
Right, because we are.
Yes, that's correct. I'm literally building I'm mounting a 50 caliber machine gun on the back of my pickup truck.
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's something that is sort of, like, that's a product of, like, American propaganda in the first place, that television became one of the main metrics for news, and mostly television is also a medium of entertainment and distraction and advertising, and like, it's because of, you know, the propaganda environment that we live in that people don't really have a distinction between entertainment and like education, or entertainment and organizing, or, you know, pick your poison.
Right, but, or like, even like public intellectuals, like, when I was younger in the early 2000s and I was reading Zizek, I wasn't like, damn, Zizek should fucking like take over an organization, or like he should be using his book money to like fund a Slovenian militia or what. Like, it's not how it works. And I feel like because how actual organizing works has been so obfuscated by things like COINTELPRO and just general propaganda against it, people think that's like public intellectuals and celebrities are going to be the ones running the show.
Well, that's specifically Zizek shouldn't do it because he's not handsome enough to hold elected office.
I'm gonna have to disagree with
you. I think
he's
actually too handsome. If he became president,
he's unconventionally attractive.
Yeah, that's right.
Everyone who's, whether or not they're attracted to middle-aged or old, how old is he? Like, in the 60s?
I think he's in his 60s.
Whether they're attracted to 60-year-old men or not, the sight of him is so primally appealing that everyone would want to fuck Zizek.
While eating a hot dog. No, I do like the way there's something about him.
There's something in the way he moves, you might
say.
No,
it's like consuming media is not doing politics. You're not doing politics by watching the right TV shows or listening to the right podcasts or watching your favorite streamers. Consumption is not politics, all right? It's consumption. Right. It's by definition, it cannot be politics.
Right, and I think that's sort of what I wanted to get at, is that like this whole conversation is premised on this basis that, like, if you're Twitch streaming, you need to, and you don't live your life like Jesus Christ, like doing things for free and healing people and, you know, making people's material lives better and using every cent of your, you know.
Look, you got to end homelessness in your entire city before you can buy yourself a house.
It's all premised on the iPhone Venezuela socialism kind of thing of like, of just like, I consider myself a communist, but I don't spend my money. Like, I don't spend, I can't, I don't have any money to like give to I don't know, homeless shelters or food banks or whatever. And it's like, at what point do people think that they must?
Isn't it always like, oh, you have an iPhone, you have a TV, you have a microwave. It's like all you, mm-hmm. you have consumer good that enables you to consume more. It's like the other than like actually owning land, all of those things, TV, iPhone, whatever, is just a way for you to consume more bourgeois media propaganda. Mm-hmm. And but those are the things that bourgeois media propaganda tells you are markers for financial success or stability. Mm-hmm. Like the, oh, you know, people in Venezuela don't have iPhones. They can't play Flappy Bird.
Mm-hmm. They don't have microwaves. They can't listen to the Alex Jones show that broadcasts through your microwave only. That's my favorite
yeah.
show.
Yeah, it only goes to your teeth.
You gotta tune in to the, you gotta bite a thing and tune in your microwave to the right channel. And then you hear some pretty interesting propaganda, I gotta say.
Did you guys get hit by that hurricane?
We got hit by the edge of it, I think. So it was just rain.
You were edging.
All day. Yeah, mm-hmm. we were edged. There was not really wind. It didn't thunderstorm. It just rained nonstop for
it was kind of cute. I don't know. Wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was definitely not Sandy.
Up here in my Ted Kaczynski style woods shack, it took the whole thing completely off the foundation. It's just it was just the only thing left was like me standing where like on the platform where the house used to be in my underwear, like shivering like Lenny, trying to tell people not to tell anybody how I live.
Please don't tell the internet this is how I live. It's just like a table with a microphone and a computer, and that's it. You just like. You sleep on the floor and then sit up to podcast or games or whatever.
Every Lego scattered about the grass.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the house that's actually my made defense of Legos system. Too. Like it's I like have in a Home moat, Alone? Moat filled with Legos.
That's a pretty good
and a
move,
sign that says please remove shoes before entering.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's like, well, shit. I have to respect this person's wishes to enter their home, but that's really gonna sting on my feetsies. That's gonna hurt turn like hell.
I'm gonna take my tootsies off.
Yeah, my tootsies. That's right.
I mean it's just a shame because it's just not the way you should look at anything, and I just want people to start realizing you have to get offline to actually do anything that's going to help anybody.
Christopher Dorner went outside and
Xavier Johnson.
Christopher Dorner was not posting memes saying that the cops should give up their salary. He put his praxis into action.
He put his money where his mouth is.
He put his money where their mouths are. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about
so
it.
So if you're a streamer and you make your money killing people in video games,
put your money where your mouth is.
We're not going to elaborate. We're not going to unpack that.
It's not necessary to elaborate.
Just put your money where your mouth is.
Right. Buy one of those $10,000 meals that's covered in edible gold for no reason and eat that. So your money is where your mouth is. It's in your mouth.
It's very unsanitary. You don't want to put your money where you don't want to put your mouth anywhere near your money.
Money is so dirty. No one ever cleans
right.
it.
So many people have touched that. They've been doing cocaine out of those bills.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you turn your money into bullets, then you definitely don't want to put your money where your mouth is because it has lead in it. And you
Do they still have lead in them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I wouldn't want lead poisoning.
You don't want lead poisoning. Yeah.
Well, some of them have like more radioactive components, which is why a bunch of people in Afghanistan and Iraq had a bunch of children with birth defects.
Because they'd get shot.
Oh right,
it's because
that.
They didn't accept. They didn't accept the democracy. The democracy. That's
they
right.
wanted the they tried
or freedom. They didn't
we
really
tried
want
to give
freedom.
Them the freedom and the democracy, and then they rejected it, and that's why they
not
got mutated.
That's right.
That's what David Brooks told me.
And you were like, David Brooks, please leave the hallway of my apartment. I don't believe that you know anybody here. You're just here to spread propaganda. Go somewhere else.
He just showed up at the party unannounced.
Yeah, he's
he
like
wasn't
Bill
even
Murray.
In costume.
Remember when Bill Murray would do that? There were all these like articles about like 20-somethings having parties, and he would just like walk in with beer.
That
and,
happened
like,
to me twice.
Oh, yeah?
When I first moved to Bushwick, Bill Murray would just like show up.
It seemed like he was just wandering the streets like every night, walking into parties.
Wait, that also happened to me.
Yeah?
Was Bill Murray like a weird Indian guy who walked into your house and started selling you a timeshare?
He
said that's what his name was.
I'm Bill Murray and I have a timeshare for you. And you were like, where did you come from?
Yeah. No, I mean, it does happen. If he had brought beer, I probably would have bought the timeshare. I wouldn't have known any better. I'd be drunk.
That would be a good move.
Bill Murray probably stopped going to parties after OnlyFans became a thing. Because that's all he really wanted to do.
Was look at naked ladies.
Was have sex with naked ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, putting your money where your mouth is. Like, if your money, if your mouth is always on titties, then you're just putting money on titties.
Then you're putting your money where your mouth is.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, I mean, if you're...
And that's praxis.
Say if your mouth is... Or, you know, if you're more into putting your mouth on a penis, you know, you're putting money onto a penis.
You're putting your money where your mouth
like
is.
Like Scrooge McDuck style.
Right. And now like people aren't going to be allowed to do that anymore because OnlyFans is taking away... It's funny because this whole discussion has been about lightly regulating how much nudity can be on OnlyFans. Which means like nothing too lurid, but you can still show like pussy and penis.
Look, first they came for the OnlyFans models. Next they came for, I don't know, guys who sell t-shirts on Shopify and say they have a fashion brand. And then they came, for me.
Yes. No,
nobody was left to speak out for me.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't make a t-shirt that was like, don't ban Beep Beep, because his t-shirt site was already shut down.
Look, regardless of the sex, porn, whatever, it's disturbing that a credit card or payment processor can shut down payments based on what is being sold. I mean, like, there's nothing illegal about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like,
yeah, absolutely not.
And like, they've done it before. Like, there were instances where like organizations doing BDS had, you know, the payment processor shut their shit down.
Oh right. Yeah, like PayPal will like never send you your money if you're Palestinian, basically, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you should be disturbed regardless of whether you were like an OnlyFans person or not.
Right. It's absolutely like, it's not even about the sexual, I mean, like, people trying to make it about that it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's stupid because it's like, we live in a country where private corporations run the state, and it's like,
right,
free speech isn't real if corporations are the ones enforcing that. And it's just like, oh, you can't do that because we don't want you to.
Yeah, it's like, what's so weird when people are like, well, in China, they censor the internet, unlike here. And it's like, I think we maybe censor it just as much.
If not more, like, but it's like, it's not from the state.
Yeah, different. But it is.
It's although like, sometimes it is like Backpage.
Right. Yeah. And that's like, it's like, you know, reactionary anti-sex like people. There's like a confluence of different influences. But like at the end of the day, it means like unelected groups of people with tons of financial power can just unilaterally decide like if you're allowed to post things on the internet or not.
But my favorite part of the whole OnlyFans debacle is Edward Snowden.
What's his take?
Edward Snowden retweeted like an OnlyFans thing and said, Bitcoin fixes this.
In what way?
I mean, he's not wrong. Bitcoin fixes wrong. A lot of problems. Like when you have too much money and you want to have less of it, you buy Bitcoin, you buy high and you sell low.
Yeah, if you're ever wondering, I have $500, how do I make it into $200 without, like, you know, buying a video game or getting to enjoy anything?
I would like to not exchange my money.
I don't want to exchange it for goods or services. I just want to have less of it.
I also don't want to turn it into material money and then flush it down the toilet because I'm afraid for the environment. Mm-hmm. So how do I get rid of money without having to take on pointless trash like things from Amazon?
And I don't want to give it to anybody who needs money right now desperately, like a homeless person, someone who needs money for medicine or food. Nothing
we're gonna
like that.
Put your nudes on the blockchain. Here's how it's gonna work. Okay, you're gonna post your nudes via Ethereum smart contract. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Then somebody on the other end has to decrypt that Ethereum smart contract. Like you used to have to do on dial up when you were looking at like a picture of boobs, and it would slowly load from the top down. So we're just going back to that.
Maybe also it's like, you know how you have to like verify the transactions by doing calculations on your computer, and that's how Bitcoin's all verified. What if someone has to beat off to verify the nudes? And so if you want to earn sex Bitcoins, you've got to beat off to as many nudes as possible. And people are going to build rigs that let them like beat off more to mine.
Wait, how are you powering it? I stopped listening.
Oh, no, I was just saying that you got to verify the nudes by beating off.
There's basically two different ways that cryptocurrency works. All right, proof of work and proof of stake. This is all real and you can look it up. But what if there was, as Chris said, a third way to a verify the blockchain, mm-hmm. proof of load.
We proof call- of bust. Yeah, yeah.
Proof that you busted.
Because that verifies that it's a nude or that in some way it's possible. Like what we're saying is, you know those old memes that were like, I can't fap to this or I can fap to this?
Yeah,
we're
going to
turn that into a way of verifying using, you know, the a hybrid AI real human intelligence network to verify if you can fap to this. And if you can, then the system will deem it enough of a nude to verify it and keep sending it around to people.
Right. And that's why they called Bill Clinton a third way president, because he had proof of busting.
I don't want proof of work or proof of whatever. I want proof of busting.
Putting, you know, your junk on mm-hmm. into the Internet of Things, the Internet of all things. We're not excluding things here. All right, we're talking all that shit.
Whatever kind of thing you got,
that's right.
We're putting it on the internet.
bus chain.
Yeah, and I'm buying a $400,000 rig so I can bust. I'm trying to put it on the bus chain.
Yeah, no, I think that we've really cracked it here. All right. So this podcast episode will serve as our white paper, and we're going to be doing an IPO or initial pubic offering.
Initial penile offering.
And it's called the white paper because that's the color of bust when you come. It's white usually.
Sure, I hope so.
Yeah. One hopes so.
One hopes so.
It's like that old Reddit thing where you initiate a transaction by saying unzips pants.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Asterisks. Oh, boy. But Snowden, reminder, is a CIA agent. He has always been a CIA agent. And if you are like me, you understand or believe at least that there aren't really ex-CIA agents. And if you look at the way they've treated Chelsea Manning and Julian Assange, people who have also, and Reality Winner, people have also leaked things that are very important to national security, you realize that they usually find them and torture them and sometimes kill them. They rarely let them win an Oscar and live happily in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a very hard time believing that the CIA couldn't like find someone in
a state that is run by the CIA. Yeah, functionally.
They could find some way of putting a bullet in his head or arresting him or whatever.
The way that Chelsea Manning and Assange and Reality Winner have been treated, you have to realize Bitcoin fixes this.
Mm. Bitcoin fixes that.
That's
too,
right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true. They could have gotten out of prison early if they just had Bitcoin.
If they had just done their document dumps on the bust chain.
So, you know, you've got the CIA agent basically saying that Bitcoin fixes all the problems, that it takes away power from private industry. And I have to wonder what exactly he means by this.
He did not elaborate in his
tweet? He didn't elaborate on that.
Interesting. Strange.
But I think that what I always want to remind people of when we talk about Bitcoin and CIA agents talking about Bitcoin is that the CIA must have a control of it.
A shitload, yeah.
Like they must have like
tons of information,
so much
tons of access
of it. They must have access to the ledgers. I don't know how it works, but
I mean, well, I guess when you think about it, ledgers, because it's like the original way that like Bitcoin, like one of the first uses of it that was popular was like buying illegal drugs, and like who sells more illegal drugs than the CIA?
That's anybody, so it's,
exactly right.
Yeah,
so just exactly. through that, they would gain access to tons of it.
That's why we need a new blockchain. That's not a blockchain at all. It's built on busting.
It's built on busting.
Yeah.
And
CIA agents usually aren't human, so they can't bust. They wouldn't be unable to verify these these documents on the bus chain.
Hmm. Is that so?
Yeah. It's true. You can look it up.
See, now I'm into this.
You can look it up just as soon as I add it to the Wikipedia. They keep reverting my edits for some reason. I don't know why. It's completely true. I have sources.
You have the sources.
Well,
all right, post those.
Well, you know that footnote that was like this was revealed to me in a dream. It was one of those situations.
Source, I made it up.
They don't allow that on on Wikipedia.
Wait, what was that?
It's just like it's a footnote from some book where it's like this was revealed to me. In
oh,
a dream.
Right.
I don't know what it was. I think it's like a philosophy book. Maybe I'm not sure.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really all you need.
I had a dream about something, and so that's why I'm putting it in my book.
Yeah, well, exactly. But
if you're going to make the claim, why even footnote it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
why would you just say, why would you just leave it? It's not necessary to footnote it.
Yeah, why would you admit that you didn't come up with the idea and it was actually the machine elves that live in your dreams?
Yeah, give the machine elves the credit. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's some kind of book about the divine and the human. It's like a theology book where he's like,
yeah, of course.
The ego has been a fatality both for the human self and for God.
Hey, that sounds like someone else I know.
Oh, yeah?
About the industrial age.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The ego has been a disaster for the human race and the God race.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then
true.
He just says, this was once revealed to me in a dream. That's amazing.
Uh huh.
I mean, revealed by God, I guess, is the implication, maybe. God is the source.
This is divine inspiration.
God is the source for all of this. All right.
Yeah. So how is Afghanistan doing? Speaking of Allah.
You know, Quasimodo predicted all this.
What's going on with Afghanistan?
What is going on with Afghanistan?
Well, there's a New York Times headline, U.S. forces go into Kabul to extract stranded Americans and allies.
All right. Now, why are we in or are we out here?
If we were going to leave, why didn't we extract all of our Americans and allies and then leave?
Are you or aren't you my baby?
This is just, this is one of the most messy pullouts I've ever seen. The United States just does not have pullout game.
Are we trying to make it as like messy and like poorly planned as possible to make it like seem like we should have stayed? Is that the logic here? That the like military wants it to like look like it's a disaster, and so we should have actually stayed in because it would have not been a disaster if we had or something.
The media class certainly seems to think so. They're all absolutely, writing all these articles about like various insane reasons why we shouldn't have left or why we should go back in. They're hungry for blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to like win this war, and they feel like we've just been like in a stalemate for 20 years, and if we surge enough, we could actually win this time.
They want to surge more.
They want to keep surging. Yeah.
They've got to surge more. They're going to need the bus chain.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess Joe Biden is thinking like August 31st is his current deadline for withdrawing U.S. troops, and he's thinking about pushing it back, which is like...
The U.S. withdrawal of Afghanistan starts to look like the release schedule for Venom 2. It came out.
Yeah.
2019. I mean 2020. 2021.
All right. Now that we got
October
vaccines,
2021.
Wait, Delta. Shit. Okay. End of the year.
Yeah.
All right. Booster after booster shots, we'll put it out.
Look, Mac. Look. Look. It's all right, man. Look, come on. I made a deal with the Taliban, and what we're gonna do is as soon as Half-Life 3 comes out, all right, then we're gonna pull out completely.
It's very hard.
They said Alex. Alex doesn't count as Half-Life 3.
That's not 3.
That's not 3.
It's not. It's really not.
It's VR only. It's VR. I don't want no VR. I don't want VR. It's too futuristic. I don't even know what's happening. I put it on and I'm like, what's happening? Where am I? Am I Alex? Where am I?
Yeah. Someone needs to just make a loop of Joe Biden saying need time over and over again.
Need time. Remember we played that for John and John was like, it sounds like he's dying.
He is dying.
The demon inside him is saying it needs more time to assimilate his entire consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
More time. Need time.
Need time to eat the whole country. I feel like it might be, it's hard to imagine things getting worse if a demon took over the government. What if he was like,
a demon would be cool.
Demons, I mean, because if they're opposed to God, and
what else
God
could they be doing
everything
at Bohemian Grove?
Yeah, yeah, they're trying to like get Moloch to win the next election or something.
I think it's Baal, actually.
Oh, not Moloch.
Moloch is an owl. It doesn't really look like an owl.
Okay, but you've seen the demon that they have at Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Baal. Alex Jones thought it was Moloch.
Yeah.
Well, but Alex, I think Jones, he might be wrong. Dumbass. He's been there though, and I haven't been
That's
there.
True.
So.
Oh yeah, Baal does very. He's a very like cursed elder god kind of thing.
Absolutely. Like,
big guy with a crown.
He's the pagan
and, like,
one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. So we need Baal to run the government. You know, he'd probably leave Afghanistan pretty good.
If they made That's DLC right, for yeah. Bloodborne where you can fight Baal, that would be fun. I want to fight Baal.
I don't think so.
With a big chain sword.
Look, that's it. We were talking about internet censorship. All right. Nobody is talking about how the real treatment for COVID is just looking at big titties.
You know, have you ever seen a woman with big tits die from COVID?
I don't think so.
Not personally.
Me neither.
There's something about the titties.
They got all the milk. And that's good. But speaking of milk, ivermectin has been in the world today. I saw one of the intellectual dark web guys go on. I don't know what ivermectin is.
Yeah, what is
it? It's some sort of
like
medicine.
A dewormer. I think it's like an anti-parasitic dewormer. Yeah.
Oh, is that why I saw a joke tweet about dewormer? Because people are wanting to take it.
Well, it's because it's like for horses. It's like a big horse stomach pill.
Well, they have it for people too. In the third world, they just give it to people all the time.
Really? That doesn't seem like a great idea.
I guess you can use it in humans and animals. It said in humans, it includes head lice, scabies, river blindness.
What the fuck is river blindness?
Well, I take ivermectin all the time because I walk around barefoot in New York City.
I've seen people do that.
Yeah, now, it's completely unrelated to COVID. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's more of a prophylaxis against all the various. I mean, can you imagine if the subways flooded? What kind of shit would be in that water?
They do flood sometimes. They probably flooded this weekend.
They're probably flooded right now.
Could be.
Yeah, there's probably those hookworms that go inside your urethra.
Anyone ever done... There was that podcast that was like podcast but outside. What if there was a podcast on the subway where you just were like loudly recording your conversation and bothering everyone else on the platform or on the train? It'd be interesting.
That's what... That I feel like that's what the show is missing. Since COVID, we've recorded remotely, I think, every single time, right?
Yeah.
So what we really need to do is we need to meet up somewhere in like an interesting locale. Mm-hmm. Like maybe at, you know, the Capitol during some sort of mass riot incident.
Or maybe just like on the one train riding up and down for hours and we record tons of episodes and like have random people guest because we bring an extra mic.
Maybe try that. At Bohemian Grove.
That's what we should do. We should have Bale on the podcast and see what he has to say.
Yeah.
Let's get Bale and Moloch on the podcast and decide which one of them hangs out there more.
So Bale, look, what do you think of this new $3 million Hollywood home that was purchased by Hasan Minhaj?
Not Minhaj, Piker. Hasan Minhaj probably has a nicer home than a $3 million home.
Way nicer.
He's got that Netflix money.
Yeah, he's got Netflix money. Mm. He's like actually like, he probably went to Obama's birthday party.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Did some riffs and some bits.
Mm-hmm.
Man, can you imagine the fucking dog shit riffs they were dropping on each other at Obama's birthday? Like you have Obama and you have like fucking John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
Was Common there or no?
I think Common went.
Common was there?
I think so.
Just being like, you know, it was wild, man. They made me train for 6 weeks and how to hold hold and shoot correctly. I used a 1911 in the movie with Keanu. It was fucking fantastic. We really fought, actually. I bruised my clavicle. Obama's just like, cool, man.
Wow, that's very cool. Very, very cool. And then Chrissy Teigen is like, can I show you guys a death threat I just got? Someone's really mad at me.
John Legend comes over and he's like, you guys want to try this new baby smoothie? It's not for babies.
It's made of baby spinach. It's baby spinach. It's not, they're all winking and Obama is like, oh yeah, I love baby spinach. Me and Joe used to drink that all the time.
They're naming baby spinach now?
Yeah.
You're telling me a baby spinach the spinach?
You're telling me a baby made this spinach salad? Nope, Chrissy, we are not that bombed on your Twitter last week. Don't try to do it again here.
Yeah.
Just imagine all the celebrities like bringing up the bits that bombed on Twitter, then being trying to like make them work in person.
You think Bill Murray went to Obama's birthday party?
No,
I don't think so. Larry David was gonna go, and then he got disinvited.
What did he get disinvited for?
Just because
they were like down, because like it was kind of controversial, and people were like, "Why is he having a party of 500 people when Delta is spreading?" And so their half measure response was like, "Let's have a party of 200 something people instead, while Delta is spreading. Let's cancel the party. Let's just have less people."
Imagine getting like an email, like that's because you know that's how they found out. You're like, you get an email telling you, oh, you're actually one of Obama's like second tier friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like this, the outer ring of the Twitter interaction circle.
You're like it looks cool for me to be around you, but not that cool. I don't actually give a shit about you. I feel like Larry was just like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's
I wasn't going to go anyway.
they disinvite Larry David, but they keep Jerry Seinfeld on
yes, of course. And he's like, now we can get into the real stuff we like
that's
to
right.
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want Larry around telling you to stay away from the 17-year-old girls, Jerry. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's been some sort of push to say that accusing the ruling class of child rape at all is like some sort of right-wing talking point?
Oh, sure.
But that's weird because we know that they do. Like, yeah, exactly. Bill Clinton.
Well, literally anything that gets accused of being a right-wing talking point, you can just assume that the elites don't want it to be true. And I mm-hmm. mean anything, any right-wing talking point, they're all correct.
That's science. It's infallible. It's just, yeah, like, yeah. You want to prove something, see if it's a right-wing talking point. And if it is, then like you know it's actually
yeah.
true.
Right-wing talking point.
The elites don't want you to know this.
Mm-hmm. I think Lehman Brothers should control all of the housing in America. Mm-hmm. That's something that the elites don't want to happen.
Yeah, yeah. The immortal science of Marxist-Leninism. They're always telling you on MSNBC, don't listen to this. It's made up by right-wingers, and that's how you know that it's immortal and scientific.
That's right.
You actually can't tell from any other elements of it. It's just like the fact that people say it's a right-wing talking point makes it true.
Mm. Yeah, all the right-wing talking points about immigration, abortion, sexuality, gender,
all accurate.
They're all yeah, that's because the elites don't want you to know them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, they don't that's want you to know them.
They've positioned them as right-wing talking points.
They want you to dismiss them instead of learning the truth.
I think. When the elites tell you that accusing billionaires of doing child sex trafficking is a right-wing talking point, in all seriousness, you need to stop.
You must.
No, I don't want us to get disappeared. All right. As soon as we talk about the lizard
people will come for us.
Yeah.
Beep Beep's new theory that all right wing talking points are secretly true.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll get disappeared.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a Twilight Zone about that.
The right is the true dissident side.
They're not in power.
They're liberals, punk rock, basically.
Yes, exactly. So because you have Joe Biden in the White House. And Joe Biden is a socialist, right? Mm-hmm. So the immortal science of Marxist-Leninism is now ruling the United States. Mm-hmm. That's you. In order to be subversive, you have to be on the right. Otherwise, you are on the side of the elites. That's you know, it's black and white, and there's no nuance.
It's also proven. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. It's proven. It's known.
It's known and proven. That's it's interesting. Right. There was that somebody said along. Was it Charlie Kirk who was saying that like being right wing was punk rock or something?
Yeah, someone said that. Maybe Milo Yiannopoulos.
Oh, says, wasn't it?
Sounds like a Milo.
PragerU.
Yeah, someone in that realm of grifter.
It's funny because punk rock has always been a little reactionary. Like early on, it was like let's be gay, but also be Nazis.
it's like a weirdly apt metaphor where it's like a thing that has like a sort of a veneer of being anti-mainstream culture, but also like has become very mainstream and can like easily be folded into mainstream
some
reactionary
of the,
culture.
Some of the dumbest bad teeth. Englanders in the 70s.
People with no taste, no original thoughts in their head can't play music.
Look, when the Dead Kennedys named their band, they were supporting the CIA-FBI collaboration plot to kill John F. Kennedy and RFK. I mean, Sirhan, innocent. It was the Dead Kennedys that killed him.
Well, Sirhan, I wouldn't say innocent, but maybe didn't kill Kennedy.
We got to get him out of retirement.
Is he still alive?
He absolutely is, yeah.
Because he was like 22, I think, when he
isn't the guy that shot Reagan also alive?
He got out of prison recently and like put out some music.
That's right, yeah.
Put out music? Was it Dungeon Synths?
I don't know. It looked like it was just him and it was like an old boomer in his living room with a guitar. I don't really know what it sounded like.
Oh, man. The Mountain Goats.
Yeah, he was the Mountain Goats.
Yeah. Sounds like Jandek. Yeah.
I that's what I think should happen to most guys who like do a high profile political assassination. If they don't immediately get killed afterwards for being an intelligence asset, they should be given access to a recording studio in prison.
Yeah. I want
to
hear what kind of music they might make. Like, like when, what's that guy's name? The black metal guy?
Varg.
Yeah, he was like making albums in prison, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. That was my dungeon synth joke. Thanks for explaining it.
Well, when they call it the prison industrial complex, it's because everybody, like, they give a bunch of gear to prisoners and they make industrial music.
Yeah. Yep. You go into prison and you get three noise engineering modules and a Roland 606 and you gotta join the band. It's 2 million strong. Yeah, that's how America works.
Did I tell you guys I'm re-marathoning all the Fast and Furious movies?
No, you didn't.
How's that going? We talked about them a couple episodes ago.
Maybe without me. I've never seen one.
I saw them when I, like, the first couple of them when I was a kid, and then I stopped watching them when I basically, like, after, like, the third or fourth. And it's really weird when you go back and you realize it's like, oh, no, this is all, like, DEA narco busting. They're like, they're
oh,
like,
really?
It's so what they cool do. To be a guy who street races and who is also a cop.
Right.
That's like
the first
coolest
one,
guy you can be.
Well, in the first one, they street race, but then basically after that, I've seen the first one and then like 5 and 6 or something. They just start working for the government. Like, they're basically like secret agents. And I'm sure
the third one is, like, really the best because it has nothing to do with the first two. It's just some high school kid who goes to Japan and learns how to drift.
See, that seems cool. That's like a movie they should make more of. It's just like people traveling to foreign countries, learning to drive cars in strange and dangerous ways.
Is that the plot of this anime you like? What is it? Initial D or whatever?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not American, but yes, basically.
Oh, this one is an American
drifting
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the point of drifting?
It looks cool and is fun.
There you go.
But is there any like a speed reason?
Do you want like a basic history of drifting? Because I'll do that on the podcast right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, in the 1980s, there was this guy named Keiichi Tsuchiya.
Wow, that was late, huh?
I mean, I'm sure there was drifting before that, but like he was a professional race car driver and he was so good that he was way out in front of the competition, and so he started going around corners hanging the back wheels out. So what you basically do is, to drift, you know, listeners feel free to tell me I'm an idiot for oversimplifying this, but you go around a corner, you oversteer, and then you jam the accelerator, give it a bunch of throttle, so you spin the back wheels, they lose grip, and you skid, you're skidding around, and then you correct by steering out of the corner, and you balance your steering and your throttle so that you slide around the corner. So he started doing that right in races, and then he it was so popular that he made like a film called Plusby, which I don't know what it means. It's basically just, you know, those old skateboard videos where there would just be like,
yeah, like a skate video drifting.
And then a bunch of like teenagers in Japan started like souping up their cars, and they would like go down like mountain roads. Just watch Initial D.
Is it like you can get around sharper turns without slowing down less, or like
there's an element to that? Yeah,
so you can like, you're basically losing control so that once you're around you can go straight faster.
Yeah, because you can have a higher approach speed, right? This is me secretly turning every episode of BFF into car talk for now. You can have like a higher approach speed and then scrub off that higher approach speed because you're spinning the tires and you're like controlled oversteering through the turn.
So what you're saying is that America, when it went into Afghanistan, was functionally trying to drift
through the entire war.
They were trying to point in one direction, but then also have the back of the military go the opposite direction into Afghanistan while also pointing.
Well, they were
Iraq.
Trying to say like, let's not slow down and let's not, you know, draft a bunch of people to sort of like constantly occupy this area. We can just like kind of just go right in.
We can cover the whole country.
Do some tactical bombings.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can, you know, just hire a couple of Blackwater people to sort of do all of the occupying for us. And then when we set up the democracy, it'll be our country.
Right.
That's
they
right.
Maybe they were also planning to like drift in and then not slow down and then from there drive into Iran. But then they got messed up. They wanted to go to Iran.
You don't change horses in the middle of a race.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because then what they did is they started drifting and then immediately ate shit.
Their car exploded.
Yeah, yeah. What?
They should make horse relay races. That'd be great. Like the
that
jockey has to
so
hop
sick.
Off one onto the next horse and then go.
Now, is that one of
would
those?
Would it be a horse relay race, or would it just be like a guy on a horse hands a baton to another guy on another horse?
Yeah, interesting.
Oh, that would be fun.
That'd be
would
fun.
That still I think count as changing horses?
I would also like to watch them like have to jump to a new horse, because that adds a sort of like acrobatic element of like you got to, I don't know, hop off. It's like maybe like a pit crew. Just,
I think
like,
if you had to jump off, it could be in the Olympics.
Yeah. If you, especially
what do you
if
say you we take that Patreon money to the track this week?
Yeah.
I'm feeling lucky.
We should make a Patreon tier that's like, it's $50 and you might get back $200 if your $50 is part of the money we put on the winning horse.
Ooh, what if there's a Patreon tier where you can win money back?
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on our performance at the track.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they finance us to do it.
It's $50 a month. You get the bonus episode, but then also if we win at the track with that money,
that's right,
you get a cut.
Yeah, yeah. If we lose, unfortunately,
you win 20%.
It's a hedge fund, but we're accountable to no one.
We're accountable to, like,
now we're talking.
Yeah, that's we're accountable right. to
as Edward Snowden says, Bitcoin solves this.
The Securities and Exchange Commission doesn't need to know.
They well, don't
what he doesn't
to.
Tell you is that Bitcoin is the name of the horse that we're putting our entire Patreon budget for the year on. And when Bitcoin comes in first and Bitcoin wins,
yeah,
Bitcoin solves this because then everyone gets a lot of money.
That's right.
Not in Bitcoin. They're going to get it in fiat, but it'll be because of Bitcoin the horse.
Right.
What if he was like saying Bitcoin solves this because he actually meant that he was going to use his Bitcoin miners to figure out the moral quandary behind the OnlyFans porn ban.
He was going to be able to take over the company that bought OnlyFans with Bitcoin.
Oh, interesting. Or take over Visa with Bitcoin, and then
yeah, just take over all the American economy with Bitcoin.
Yeah, hang on, guys, I got this.
Hang on, the CIA is going to control the entirety of the American economy with
they
Bitcoin.
They already do.
Yeah, this will be
yeah, not enough though.
There's theories that like the white paper for the original white paper for Bitcoin was just released by some anonymous guy who goes under the name Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah. No one knows
and
who that is.
No one knows who it is, right?
And it's probably some who the fuck knows? There's theories that it's the United States government. There's also theories that it's like some rich guy, you know?
Yeah, I would be shocked if like
could
some
be Bill Murray
intelligence organization wasn't involved with the creation of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly like a foreign one for all we know.
Possibly a foreign one, but also possibly like, you know, military intelligence, because like all of that kind of technology always comes from the military, like DARPANET and ARPANET. It would be surprising if somebody just like invented it.
Well, what do you think the D in DARPA stands for? All right, when they're currently developing Bustcoin, the D stands for Dick Advanced Research Project.
Deepened
systems or something.
D cup titties Advanced Research Project.
Deeply Advanced Research Project Agency.
Yeah, someone should try that out as like a Tinder message. Hey, are you from DARPA? Because I'd like to do an advanced research project with you.
That might work one out of like 3,000 times. But well, if it works, it really works.
I like those odds. Yeah, this is the same as putting all of our Patreon money on a horse at the racetrack. Is
name
like,
name
when
Bitcoin.
It works. Yeah, when it
if
works,
you
it
win,
really
you really
works.
Win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much. If you'd like to help us win money on Bitcoin, please go to our Patreon at patreon.com/bppletus. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. We will see you on all of the social medias. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Jersey City, what do you think?
Yeah, we got to go.
AVEX.